Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be talking about planting spring bulbs, among other things, on the show with Mark Dwyer. And I'm really looking forward to talking with him. We're in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and of course, listener contributions are the largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including Garden Talk and The Larry Mueller Show, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution right now in support of Garden Talk at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Ezra Wall joins me. Ezra, of course, WPR's La Crosse regional manager. He's got his own regional show called Newsmakers. Ezra, welcome.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here, Larry.
Great to have you with us. How are we doing on the drive?
We've heard from a couple of people already this hour, so just your presence in the ether is making them call in already. But we're looking for 25 people this hour to give gifts to WPR.
So help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, of course, are part of our funding, and they provide an important source of funding for WPR programs. And those, of course, come from our listeners as well. But it's voluntary listener support that's actually the biggest percentage of support for Wisconsin Public Radio.
You make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And I think because WPR matters to you, you could make a personal contribution. As a matter of fact, you could do it right now. Pay for the programs you listen to. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Thanks for spending time, of course, with Wisconsin Public Radio as a listener. And whether you found us by scanning the dial or whether a friend recommended Garden Talk because you were, you know, complaining about how your flowers are never blooming correctly or whatever, you still tuned in, whether it's just because you happened upon the dial or because you needed some very specific information. You're here because you like what you're hearing.
And because you like what you hear, help pay for the WPR listening. You choose the amount, by the way. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is a great starting point. So become our next donor at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Ezra Wall. And your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Your contribution could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we also make it really, really easy to do, giving to WPR. We just need some information. We need your name. We need your contact info. We need how much you'd like your gift to be and, of course, how you'd like to make that payment.
It takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've still got 50 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 25 people to join in total. So you can help us move toward our fundraising goal this hour. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value, like this Garden Talk program. And of course, you could ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt. I have one coming. I had to make an extra contribution to get it, but I have it coming. It's light blue, Wisconsin-inspired design. It's a soft navy shirt, perfect for fall activities. Ask for yours with a gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer yet, well, there's no time like the present. You can do it right now. It's easy to set up, and you make your ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for all these programs that you love.
Ezra, I got to tell you, maybe you could read about Nancy. We've got a little message from Nancy and Kristen, and I hate reading those.
Sure. Nancy in Oconomowoc says, I love listening to the Larry Mueller Show and all the useful and interesting information I take in from the interesting programs. Thank you very much, Nancy. And Kirsten in Appleton says, I have loved being a sustaining member. I'm putting my money where my ears are. Okay, that's a clever turn of the popular phrase.
I like that. Your gift is very powerful. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. And Mark Dwyer coming up to visit with us. I always have fun talking with Mark. He's got a great business. It's Landscape Prescriptions by MD. Does a lot of speaking. He's an educator and an author, degrees in landscape architecture and urban forestry, so he knows a whole lot. And we're going to talk with him to begin with about planting spring bulbs. We have some suggestions for ornamental grass. And of course, we're going to take your calls. What gardening questions or comments do you have? I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Mark Dwyer, welcome.
Good morning, Larry.
So great to have you with us. You know, Jill Nadeau admitted that she spent $100 here a couple of weeks ago on bulbs. I don't know what her bulbs were like, but not all bulbs are created equal. I imagine she got some good ones. But what should you know before you make your selections?
Well, first of all, Jill should spend a lot more than that. I mean, that's it doesn't go as far as you might think. But, you know, of course, when you're purchasing spring blooming bulbs now, you're considering the look in 6 or 7 months, you know, when these things are blooming in late March, April, May, into early June, depending on where you live. So it's a matter of deciding where that additional spring color is warranted. And I think it's important to, number one, patronize your local garden centers and nurseries, all of whom are at this point starting to offer those spring blooming bulbs, which include a lot of the common ones we know, tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, you know, et cetera. But there's a wide range of hardy bulbs that the majority of us can grow quite successfully, and that we're heading into the time of year where installation is perfect with a warm ground, getting those bulbs in the ground in those positions where you're envisioning, again, the contribution of color makes a lot of sense at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. So get them locally. I mean, you can get them online, I guess, but it's always good to go local with something like this, isn't it?
It really is, and the variety is out there. And of course, you know, as bulb sales, nursery sales in general, of course, have been quite brisk over the last couple of years. So I anticipate it'll be the same case with bulbs. So get out there early and get what you can. And Larry, to your point, there are wonderful mail order resources domestically, and of course, a lot of our bulbs come from the Netherlands and elsewhere, but supporting, you know, again, our local suppliers makes a lot of sense. And the variety is truly amazing, from thousands of varieties of daffodils and tulips and all sorts of colors and fragrances, deer-resistant selections. So, you know, again, it's a matter of deciding what's best for your locale.
Yeah. Do you have varieties that you like to suggest, ones that do well?
Well, you know, in our climate, of course, daffodils and alliums, the ornamental onions, do very well. And I lean on those a lot if there's any issues of critters, particularly deer, because they tend to stay away from nibbling. And as much as I like tulips and crocus and bulbs such as those, the issue is they're quite tasty to a lot of critters. So, you know, again, I try to time a lot of the spring contribution around that April into May, Mother's Day, you know, and I'm speaking from southern Wisconsin here, but again, the timing really augments a lot of that spring color. And as these bulbs contribute, peak, and then fade away and go dormant, you know, you're segueing into early summer. So it's just a matter of transitioning those bulbs into good spots.
What about unusual bulbs? Are there some out there that you think would be kind of cool just to take a stab at?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of fritillarias, and or fritillaries, as some people call them. They're quite adaptive in our landscapes and fairly hardy. The issue is they need very good drainage, particularly not only good winter drainage, but summertime when they're dormant. They really prefer a well-drained location, and that's one of the challenges with many of our bulbs is their native region of origin is typically Mediterranean, where they get dry summer dormancy. So the error in our landscapes is we're putting bulbs in a lot of spaces that are getting a lot of irrigation or overhead watering, which tends to rot the bulbs out. But circling back to your original question, Larry, I love fritillaries. I think are dynamite. There's a wide range of phyllas. Those are squills beyond some of the standard types. And this is where when you're patronizing your local garden center and nurseries, look for something that's a little bit different. And odds are it's hardy for you, and follow those directions for planting depth and installation, and you'll be well rewarded.
Talking with Mark Dwyer, you can join in too at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. You know, it is kind of a nice time of the year in some ways to plant them. Is it too early for some parts of the state, or are we okay wherever we are?
It's a great question that I get a lot at this point in time, Larry, particularly for the southern portion of the state. And I like to plant my bulbs in October. I typically will wait, despite the fact that they're being sold now. The concern is if we have a real warm October, you know, the challenge is you don't want anything to start to grow. And odds are it won't. But I feel it's safer to just kind of wait until the October months. And a lot of folks will wait until after we get that first hard frost, which will start to clear back some of the perennials and open up the gaps where you can start poking these in. But it is important to mention that soil temperatures stay warm well into November. So I'm comfortable, if I can dig a hole in the ground, I'm comfortable putting bulbs in it. And sometimes that extends into even early December. So target October, but ultimately get them in when you can before the ground freezes and you'll be good.
Somebody asked about fertilizing. Is fertilizer a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. And to that point, something that I've done forever, the last 30 years or so, is I'll buy Milorganite, which is a fairly common fertilizer that originates out of Milwaukee. And many people know the name. But again, Milorganite is a very light fertilizer. And every bulb hole that I've dug in the last 30 years, I've sprinkled Milorganite in the bottom of the hole as I'm placing my bulbs. And that helps with root development and giving a boost to those bulbs both in fall and spring. But once I cover the hole with the soil, I sprinkle Milorganite over the top. So it's not only an additional boost to fertilizer, but the smell of Milorganite, it has a certain odor. It's not pleasant for humans for about a week, but it deters rodents. It deters squirrels. It deters digging in that soil because there's a lot of curious critters at those new holes. They'll start pawing through it. But Milorganite in the bottom of the hole, top of the hole, I think that's a great approach.
I love that idea. A great approach. Top and bottom. Mark Dwyer, our guest today here for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Right during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and Ezra Wall marched back into the studio to talk with us as well. Your gift right now is so important, and that's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for our shows. Your gift keeps this program, Garden Talk, and all the programs you enjoy going strong. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
39 minutes to go, Larry, and we're looking for 25 gifts this hour. I know we've had them rolling in. I hear those telephones ringing, and you can keep them ringing and the internet clicking when you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other programs that you enjoy here on WPR at wpr.org or 888-202-2552.
Generally, we pay for the things that are important to us. And when you think about it, WPR is probably as important to you, or maybe even more so than some of the other things you spend your money on.
Life just wouldn't be as good without Wisconsin Public Radio, and WPR wouldn't be as good without listener support. That's where you come in with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It pays for the programs that you enjoy and rely on, like Garden Talk.
You've made that decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer, well, you could become a sustainer. That'd be great. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
And a sustaining gift is such a powerful way of donating, Larry, because it provides reliable funding for the programs that our listeners are counting on. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. It's ongoing. Those donations then add up to have a big impact on WPR. So choose your amount. Let's say $10 or $20 a month if you'd like a suggestion, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The new WPR long sleeve t-shirt is soft and comfortable. The perfect thing to wear on a fall hike, staying cozy indoors, anywhere you want to show that WPR is your source for information and inspiration. Where would you wear your WPR long sleeve shirt?
On a chilly day at the beach.
On a trip to go apple picking. On a beautiful fall day when the weather is just a little brisk.
I'd wear it when I'm visiting my sister in Michigan, just to really show off that Wisconsin and WPR pride.
This navy cotton shirt features the WPR and NPR logos on the front and a design on the back that showcases your love for the Badger State and your favorite public radio station. Ask for yours now when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Ezra Wall. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on, like Garden Talk. And that's why your support during our drive is so important. Could be $10 a month gift or $100 a month gift, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And when you make that contribution, you become one of the 25 people that we're looking for in this hour. Got about 35 minutes left, so plenty of time, and yet there's no time like the present. So give now if you haven't already done it.
Absolutely, and here's where to go. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Your gift funds Garden Talk and all the programs that you enjoy.
Now is the time, so give right now while you're thinking about it, before the thought leaves your mind. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have that good feeling. I can tell you from experience, it feels good to support Wisconsin Public Radio. When I went to pay my extra amount so I'd get that shirt, I felt good about it. I like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can see what that's like right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I heard a financial advisor say the grass feels different when you own it. Right? So when you turn on the radio, listening feels different when you're a member. It just does. And you can be part of what we're doing here. WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And don't forget to ask for that WPR long sleeve shirt. It's navy blue, as we've been talking about. It's a perfect thing for fall. If I, you know, of course, I don't have mine yet because I just supported a couple of days ago. It doesn't take long to get them, but I'd use mine this weekend watching my daughter run cross country. Maybe that's something you'd do. Well, you can do that. Give $20 a month or more and ask for your shirt at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Crystal in Appleton wrote to us, Larry. She says, WPR keeps me up to date on what's happening in our community and the world. There are so many programs I love to listen to for fun as well. Jennifer in Appleton says, WPR is the first thing I turn on when I get to my desk. That sounds good. Thanks a lot to Jennifer and Crystal.
Absolutely. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Mark Dwyer, speaker and educator. His business is Landscape Prescriptions by MD. Been talking with him about bulbs and planting spring bulbs. I know we're going to talk about ornamental grasses as well. We've got lots of things we can talk about. And certainly, if you have a question, maybe relating to bulbs or grasses, or maybe something else in the garden, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And I want to take an email from Robin. Robin says, you mentioned squill. She wanted to mention that Siberian squill especially has become an issue as far as invasiveness. It can take over a shady area and crowd out our native spring ephemerals. And once established, they can be hard to get rid of. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's a great point. And when I mentioned squill, I probably should have clarified a little more because there are some other species that aren't as problematic. So that Siberian squill that she's alluding to recedes prolifically. And the real challenge with it is beautiful as it is, because imagine an early May area that's just entirely vivid electric blue. It's absolutely beautiful, but the problem is it does become a congested mass. So I'd be wary of that species, that Scilla siberica, because again, it does have a tendency to recede. So you have a kind of a grassy-like look after it's done blooming, and you're waiting for all that foliage to go dormant. But do explore some of the other species that are out there that are beautiful and not as problematic.
Thanks for that reminder, Robin. Appreciate it very much. Kathy in Eagle River, we'll go to you now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I know I'm not in line with your topics, but I planted morning glory seeds this early in the spring, and I had the most beautiful foliage, but no blooms. What have I done wrong?
Okay. What do you think, Mark?
Well, you know, morning glories, as we speak, you know, when I left my home this morning, I have morning glories that have overrun parts of my landscape. And as much as we enjoy them, they've reseeded and proliferated everywhere. Now, when you see morning glories that send up a lot of foliar growth, a lot of stems and leaves, typically the soil is too good, which sounds contrary, but morning glories thrive the best in very lean, tough soil. So that, you know, benign neglect really encourages morning glories to bloom. So if it's good garden soil, you get a lot of leaves and stems and not much for flowering. So my guess is they're just too happy, and that little bit of abuse would be helpful for the blooms.
There you go, Kathy. Thanks so much. Can she do anything? I mean, I guess she could just keep growing them there. And
yeah, it's tough. You know, the issue with them, I've seen them grow out of, you know, literally gravel driveways and been happier than composted soil. So, a new spot maybe.
Yeah, put them in a new spot. Thank you very much for that question. Nancy in Chautauqua in Barron County found a 1 foot white pine, bushy and healthy, growing by the garage. So it was on her own property. She would like to transplant to a grove of young white pines, so a shady spot in the yard. Should she wait until May, or is it okay to try it out now?
And timing wise, it's a great time to move it. In fact, conifers really enjoy fall planting, and that's something for anyone who's considering still purchasing plants at your local nurseries. The soil temperatures are still warm for root development, so I'm a huge fan of moving or planting or transplanting conifers well into October, followed up by plenty of moisture and ample watering until the ground freezes. So I would say go for it.
There you go, Nancy. Thanks for that question. Let's go to Kurt in Rochester, Minnesota. Hi, Kurt. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. Great show. I bought a mum September 2nd for her anniversary from a local nursery. She told me it wasn't blooming. I told her to deliver it anyway because I had more flowers. It has blossoms, but it's not really blooming. Is it a late mum, or what's the deal on that? And my other question is about daffodils and tulips. I did mail order on those from Wisconsin and Michigan, but daffodils had great instructions playing eight inches deep, et cetera, told me how to store them. Tulips had no instructions. So I'm storing the daffodils in the refrigerator. I'm storing the tulips downstairs on the shelf. It's about 65 degrees down there. So what should I be doing different? Can I plant them together, too? I'm thinking of planting tulips and daffodils together.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part of the comment, something that wasn't blooming. What type of plant was that?
A mum, I believe. Was it a mum, wasn't it, Kurt?
Yes.
Yeah, well, so to address the question about the mum, if it's not re-blooming, there's a chance, if you have deer, there's a good chance that the flower buds were nibbled off. And sometimes as they perennialize, some of the late planted mums might take a year or so to really settle in and get back into a sequence of blooms. So I wouldn't give up on it if it's still alive, but keep an eye out for critters. In terms of the daffodils and tulips, it sounds like, you know, in terms of planting depth, the rule of thumb for any bulb is you plant it three times, your planting depth is three times the height of the bulb. So you're right on with your daffodils going about 8 inches down. Your tulip bulbs are usually about 2 inches or so. So I typically plant tulips at a 6-inch depth. So keep in mind at this point, you don't have to keep them chilled in the refrigerator or anything like that. But as you plant both of them this year, you can intermingle them, keeping in mind you have two different planting depths to deal with. And ultimately, that strappy foliage of the daffodils is something to contend with as you're waiting for that to kind of die back into early summer. So it sounds like you're on the right track with both. But again, remember, three times the height of a bulb is the proper planting depth at the bottom of the bulb. So you're 8 inches for daffodils, you're 6 inches for tulips, you're good to go. And consider that milorganite I mentioned as well.
Yeah, put some milorganite in the bottom of the hole and then some again at the top of the hole. If you can do that, Kurt, it would probably be a really good idea. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Tom in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hey there. I had a quick question regarding what kind of plants would do well underneath cedar trees. I know that some evergreens can change the acidity of the soil underneath. So I was just wondering what kind of plants would do well under some cedars. Thank you.
All right. What plants do well under cedar trees?
Well, I tell you that the real challenge under any conifer is the network of roots, because to the caller's point, there is the pH of a soil can be affected by evergreens. And a great example would be pine trees tend to slightly acidify the soil. But to me, the pH changes are minimal compared to the challenges of the root competition.
Right.
So under cedar trees, and you think about a droughty year like we've had today, this year, for most of us, without supplemental watering, there's not a lot of things that would do well. But I'm assuming, let's say it's a shaded spot, a lot of root competition, and under a cedar tree, consider something like epimediums, which are also called barren warts. They can take drier shade. Pulmonarias, if they're called lung warts, can also take dry shade. Hellebores, and again, I think all three of these would be okay for your climate. So the three that I feel are a slam dunk are the epimediums, pulmonarias, and hellebores for drier shade. But they'll need ample water for establishment. But they would be fine under a cedar tree, but you may need to, again, supplement the watering regime, because it'll be a competitive area for everybody's roots in that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. How much would you put down? Would you do the inch a week kind of thing, or what would you try for?
Yeah, I think an inch a week is probably adequate. Again, not knowing the size of the cedar trees, it's tough to say, but you really can't overdo it at this point in time. But if you're considering fall planting, really soak them down good.
Susie in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Susie.
Hi. You were talking about using milorganite for the bulbs to prevent deer and other animals. I'm wondering, once they come up, I have trouble with my deer eating or just biting the top of the tulips off and then just leaving them there.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for that?
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, it's a great question, and there are lots of repellents out on the market. You know, they go by names like Deer Away and so on and so forth. I've got to say, I've been very impressed with a product, and I don't get a kickback, just so everyone knows. And it's spelled weird, but it's called Plant Skid. It's one word, so PlantSkydd, Plant Skid. And the neat thing about it is its efficacy, its duration of repellent, and it's a great repellent for all critters, particularly deer, but it lasts on the foliage of what you're trying to protect for months. It doesn't wash off with every rain. So I would look into some Plant Skid and consider that. Otherwise, you know, typical repellents, there's a reapplication. I know, for example, the Green Bay Botanic Garden has massive tulip displays, and they have to go out every week with liquid repellents because of the deer issues. And tulips and crocus, and there's a lot of bulbs that are extremely tasty. So just remember that Plant Skid and the fact that you will have to create some sort of chemical barrier or physical barrier to exclude those hungry critters.
Plant Skid, PlantSkydd, all one word. There you go, Susie, and probably a lot of other people are writing that down as well, because we get a lot of questions relating to that. Mark Dwyer, our guest, Ezra Wall, pops back in because we're in our fall member drive. And, of course, your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for our shows. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we've got some goals to meet. How are we doing, Ezra?
We're doing well. If I could tear myself away from writing down Plant Skid so the critters can stop eating my tulips. We've got 13 gifts in, and that means we're looking for 12 to go. So we're just over halfway there, Larry. And we're just over halfway through our time in the hour. So it's lining up perfect. Make your gift of support today in support of all the programs that you rely on here on WPR.
WPR programs are listener powered, of course. That means that your donation right now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we were making jokes about writing down the name of that product quickly, but you know, I'm always learning something about not only gardening on Garden Talk days, but throughout the schedule on the Larry Mueller Show, on the morning show, on all the other programs here on WPR. It's where else can you find the level of in-depth programming that you find right here? And the unique thing about it all is that it's listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make not only this hour, not only the gardening conversations here, but all the rest of the hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your gift.
You know, there are going to be some people spending a few dollars on Plant Skid. The company's going to say, where is all these sales coming from? Anyway, and they'll be spending some money on that. It's easy to spend a few bucks, maybe a dollar a day or more on things that are part of your routine. Maybe a Plant Skid, maybe a cup of coffee, maybe your favorite snack.
Consider the news and information and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that happens every time that you listen to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, which is $30 a month, is exactly the right donation for you. You can make it happen by signing up right now. So do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs that you enjoy every day.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Just go to WPR.org or you could call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Ezra Wall. And your support during this drive makes the programs you rely on, like Garden Talk, possible. Your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
We always ask you to give the amount that's right for you. You've heard us say it this drive over and over again. If it's helpful to use a formula, let's look at it this way. Let's say you heard three things a day that you're really glad that you heard on WPR. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that works out to, carry the one, $10 a month. And if that math adds up for you, make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
We have about 17 minutes or so left in the hour, and we're looking for about a dozen or so contributions to keep it going. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you can support the programs you value and ask for your WPR long sleeve T-shirt. I know Larry's is on the way. I might have to pitch in an extra amount this time just to get that T-shirt. You're making me jealous, and the weather is just perfect for it. So you can ask for yours with a gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, you could become one right now. Easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly installments from your bank account or maybe your credit card if you want to do it that way. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love, like Garden Talk.
Chris in Appleton says, since our move to Wisconsin, my wife and I start our day each morning listening to NPR and decided it was time to do our part. Thanks so much, Chris. We fly all the way across to the other end of the state, Alameda in Eau Claire. That'll teach me to just read on the fly. I have wanted to donate forever, and I finally can. Alameda, thank you so much for your gift to WPR.
What about you? Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you. Larry Mueller here for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. My guest, Mark Dwyer, his business is Landscape Prescriptions by MD, and I hope you'll join in with your questions. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's take another call. Mary in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm concerned about the recommendation to use Milorganite. It's my understanding that the Sierra Club and an environmental group in Michigan found that it contains PFAS, those forever chemicals. So I think that needs to be rethought.
All right. Mary, thanks for calling. What do you think, Mark?
Well, that's interesting. I'll have to look into that. I'm not aware of that, although I will say about 15 years ago, there was an issue with the industrial Milorganite that was used commercially, like on golf courses, and there was a concern with some heavy metals that were found. But my understanding was that process was cleaned up so that the residential, the material that is offered for residential use is safe. But I don't want to be quoted as saying that at this point. I'm curious into looking more into your listener's comment. I need to do a little more research on that.
Yeah, that's one I haven't heard. Can't remember hearing that either. But, Mary, thanks for that. We'll look into it. I know Mark's going to be looking into it pretty darn soon. So we appreciate your call for sure. Chad in Decorah, Iowa. Let's go to you now. Hi, Chad.
Hello. Okay, we've got about 3 acres of wooded area, and every year it's just totally covered in stinging nettle. And I'm just wondering if you would have any recommendations on what we could do to start eliminating it and substitute it with some other type of non-stinging weed.
And it's in a wooded area, did you say, Chad?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that'll be a challenge. And for those that haven't had the pleasure of grabbing hold of stinging nettle, it's something you won't you don't soon forget. It's something else. Oddly enough, it is a native plant, but you know the issue with stinging nettle, the real challenge is it recedes prolifically. So, you know, there's the manual removal, getting it out of there. But even if you start to, when it starts going into bloom, if you carefully are removing the top of the plant during the flowering stage, you can start to eliminate some of that reseeding. But short of a lot of manual approach and or some herbicides, it's a real challenge. My guess is once that's cleared or diminished, you may actually have some other plants that are there might reestablish. There's no limit to the opportunities of what you could grow in that wooded situation, but I've battled stinging nettles myself, and it is challenging, but that the reseeding is the thing that's real hard to get on top of. So a multi-pronged approach really is the way to go.
So you need to get after those nettles before they go to seed. And if you do that but it's not going to be something, okay, we're all done after the first year. It's going to be something that go on for years, probably.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
So it's a long-term process, Chad. We wish you good luck with it. Appreciate your call. Nancy in Madison, we'll go to you now. Hi, Nancy. Oop. Nancy, are you there? I think we might have lost Nancy. Well, let's go to Mark in Wauwatosa then. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. My question's regarding mums. I bought two potted mums in June from a local chain, and they were blooming. The bloom faded. I've kept them watered, and now it looks like there are lots of little buds over them. Are these mums safe to transplant outside now, or would I be best to bring them inside for the winter?
What do you think, Mark?
Well, you know, not all mums are created equal in terms of hardiness, so it really depends on the species. So, and there are florist-type mums that are not winter hardy, so it's tough to say. Now, the folks that are buying a lot of mums at this point in time for late-season color, the majority of those are perennials. The real challenge with any sort of planting or transplanting of mums that are deemed hardy for our climate, the challenge is right now they're putting energy into the later blooms, not so much into root development. So that's back to your original question, the real challenge, if it's a perennial, you'd want it to overwinter. You'd want to keep it outside. It would struggle inside. And if it's not hardy, obviously bringing it in may be an option. So you wonder if you divide it and take a chunk in and out and leave one out and see what happens. But again, late season mum planting is challenging because you need to do a lot of watering and roots have to set before the ground freezes. So that's a long answer that's not directly approaching what you're asking because I simply don't know what sort of mum you have. But if you ended up having a tag, a little more research would guide you on proper treatment.
All right. There you go, Mark. Thank you. I think maybe Nancy's back. Nancy in Madison, are you there?
Yeah. So I have a bed of paper whites. It's about 18 inches by 24 inches. And in the spring, I put straws in the ground so I could find the bed later. But it's just so packed that I want to split it, but I don't know how deep they are. So, like, you know, I can remove soil, but, like, should I expect them at 6 inches, 4 inches, 10 inches? Do you have any idea how deep paper whites typically are?
Well, that's a great question, and for the other listeners, paper whites are a type of daffodil. They're a narcissus, and you know the real challenge. Let me directly say, now is the time. If you can dig them and find them, you can separate them and move them and replant them anytime over the next couple of weeks for sure. What's interesting about daffodils and many bulbs is over the course of many years of bloom, what they actually do is as they're pushing stems out, they actually are pushing the bulb deeper. So tulips that you maybe planted a couple years ago at 6 inches, you're digging to find them and you realize they're 8 inches down. That's weird. Or daffodils that you planted at 8 inches are 12 inches down. So back to your paper whites, if they're a smaller bulb, so if they were 3 or 4 inches down initially, they may be deeper. So you're just going to have to probe a little and see what you find. But once you get to that layer, you know, go to town on just kind of needling them apart manually with your hands. They'll crack apart and separate, and your transplanting time is absolutely perfect. So a little exploratory surgery, and you'll find, I think, what you're looking for.
All right. Good luck, Nancy. Thank you. Paul in Green Bay wondered if it's okay to divide and plant ornamental grass right now.
It's not the best time. So the real challenge, as a lot of our warm season grasses are going into bloom, is not too dissimilar to my earlier comment about some plants that are the mums actually peaking or blooming at this point. So they can be divided and moved, followed up with lots of watering, but you really your best time for the majority of grasses is at spring emergence when the leaf blades are just coming out of the ground. So if you're in a pickle and you need to do it, I say go for it, but it's not the best time. And if you can wait till spring, I would recommend that.
Mark Dwyer, our guest for Garden Talk, great to have him with us, and great to have Ezra Wall stop by once again during our fall member drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for Garden Talk, the Larry Mueller Show, all the programs you enjoy here. And in fact, listener support, it's our largest source of funding for the programs. This drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give. Kind of running to the top of the hour here, and our goal, Ezra, is we still have a way to go to make our goal. So WPR.org, that's the place to go, or phone 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes left in the hour, and we're still looking for 10 people. So 10 gifts in the next few minutes will help us reach our goal. And we set these hourly goals to kind of help give us a benchmark to make sure that we're on track to having all the funding that we need to provide you with the programs that you enjoy as listeners. So making your contribution right now is really important. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mark Dwyer always does a great job. It's always great to have him on the show. He knows an awful lot. And there are a lot of people that we have on the show on Garden Talk that are just great regular guests who provide a lot of good gardening information. And many gardeners have told me that they love the show. It's kind of a unique show to public radio. Well, we're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and then make your gift.
And then when you do, you can also enjoy the USA-made WPR long sleeve shirt. It has a light blue Wisconsin-inspired design on a soft navy shirt, and it's perfect for raking the yard or digging up those bulbs or whatever you're doing this weekend. So ask for your long sleeve shirt when you make your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that comment. I hope you will join in during our fall member drive. I'm sure Wisconsin Public Radio means something to you. Probably Garden Talk means something to you. If these shows do, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Ezra Wall. Your support is so important, and your contribution could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Regardless, we appreciate it. We count on your gift.
And still looking for those 10 people to join in. When you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show, you fund Garden Talk, you fund all of the WPR programs that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$10 contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to about 30 cents a day. I think that's a great value.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now. It's easy. We got another donation rolling in, so now we're just looking for 9 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We will be going away here in just a minute, but I hope you'll really think hard about this. Have you enjoyed the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio? Have you enjoyed Garden Talk? Many, many people tell me they enjoy listening to Garden Talk. Well, if you haven't, you haven't contributed yet, I hope you'll do it right now. We'll give you that Navy shirt if you can contribute $20 a month, but whatever amount you choose really is the right amount. The important thing is that you do contribute, and a great time to do it would be right now. How do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The Madison Museum of Contemporary Art presents Art Fair on the Square, September 25th and 26th on the Capitol Square in Madison. Browse the works of hundreds of artists and enjoy music, entertainment, and outdoor dining. Local public health ordinances will be followed. Wisconsin Public Radio is pleased to support the arts in our communities. Learn more at WPR.org/events.
You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Mark Dwyer. Great to have him back to be with us. Wanted to mention we have a whole host of people who put this program together, and I wanted to mention our producers, Jill Nadeau and Jane Rotunda, and our engineers, of course, Tyler Ditter and Trina LaSousa. They do a wonderful job, and it's great to have them on the show and with me. I appreciate them very, very much. I also appreciate something that I just learned about here. We have a dollar-for-dollar match for this next hour. Up to 1 o'clock, you have $4,500 in that dollar-for-dollar match. So it's from current members, including a member from Lake Mills. It means they'll match every dollar you give. So I'm going to mention that now. If you haven't given yet, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. It would be much appreciated, and it will be doubled. So there you go. Mark Dwyer, our guest to answer your questions, and you can reach us at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@WPR.org. Mark, we haven't spent a lot of time on ornamental grass, and I did want to talk about it. It's become a favorite for many gardeners. Do you have some varieties that you like to use?
I certainly do. And, you know, this is the time of year that we notice grasses out in the landscape doing their thing in terms of texture, the later flowering, the movement. And I'm a big fan now of a lot of the varieties of some of our native grasses. So when you think of adaptive plants that can handle our vagaries of the climate and a lot of other soil conditions and such, there's some great varieties of big blue stem, little blue stem, prairie drop seed. You know, again, when you think of ornamental grasses, they offer so much in the landscape. And there's a wide range of opportunities out there. But again, these native selections, I think, offer not only beauty in our landscapes, but are more adapted and certainly more appreciated by native wildlife. So look into some of the native grasses and what they can do in our landscapes.
And, you know, I don't think, especially the natives, they don't need a lot of special care, do they?
You know, not really. I've been really enjoying, for instance, there's a variety of big blue stem called Blackhawks. And big blue stem is a grass that gets some nice fall color, kind of an orangey pink at times, but this one turns like a deep, deep maroon starting in midsummer. And to your point, Larry, it doesn't seem to mind a wide range of soils. It's drought tolerant, but absolutely gorgeous. And the fact that it's a native grass doesn't mean it has to be in an informal area or a prairie restoration or whatever. This sort of thing would look great along the side of a house where that maroon really pops. So, yeah, very low maintenance for sure.
And someone wondered, do you have to cut them down each year or should you cut them down each year?
Well, the intent with most grasses, keep in mind not all are winter stature ready, meaning not all grasses are created alike. So if you like the winter interest of a grass, make sure you're purchasing ones that have strong stems so they'll last through winter. But to the question about cutting them, it's typically best to wait for cleanup in spring, and that's usually later March before there's new growth happening. So leave them up for interest. If your grass flops early, in later fall or early winter, you certainly could clean it up. But it also provides wildlife habitat. So I really lean on the spring cutting, and then you might decide to divide it and move pieces around. So, again, very low maintenance and so many great selections that are out there.
We had an email from James in Delafield, I believe, emailed that he is a licensed professional environmental engineer. He says he can corroborate the earlier caller's concern about PFAS in milorganite as well as pharmaceutical residuals. The wastewater treatment process that creates these biosolids into milorganite do not remove those substances adequately. So as a gardener himself, he's concerned about it, especially for food crops. And he sent along an article from the Journal Sentinel about it. So something to look up in the Journal Sentinel. So that's from James. Thank you, James, for that. Susie in Elk Mound emails that she learned about a really great deer and rabbit deterrent spray at the Virtual Garden Expo vendor show this year. She says it's called Deer Defeat, and I believe you mentioned Deer Defeat. She used it on her new orchard plantings this year. It's highly effective and pretty long-lasting, easier to use than deer skid in that it does not clog your sprayer like deer skid can do.
Ah, well, that's good to know. That's another one to put in our quiver in terms of repellent. Awesome.
You can join in, too, by the way, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org. You know, the pandemic has had an effect on businesses. I know it turned into a kind of a boom for some parts of the gardening industry, did it not?
It sure did. When, you know, you think of the fact with folks traveling less, being home more, I think there was a little more introspection into personal landscapes and the idea that, hey, we're home more, let's spend some money on the landscape and beautify. And COVID created, by estimates, they're saying 25 million new gardeners as well, ranging from people with houseplants in apartments to those that are growing food for the first time. So it was a real boon for the nursery industry in terms of plant sales and offering support. And hopefully it continues going strong, because I really feel we need more gardeners in the world as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. What projects are you working on right now?
Well, I'm doing, my landscape design and consultation business has gone strong. I'm pretty bogged down through this season, but I've got a part-time gig at the Edgerton Hospital Healing Garden, which is a little 3-acre garden I designed over a decade ago at Edgerton Hospital, and a great space for patients, visitors, and visitors alike to enjoy in terms of sensory experience, relaxation, and really what gardening's all about ultimately is to get a little break and really enjoy being outside and kind of engaging with plants.
That sounds very, very cool. Peter in Stoughton has a question for you or a comment. Let's go there. Peter, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. A month and a half ago, I decided to stop mowing my regular lawn. We were having so little rain, and every time I mowed it, it would just look ugly for too long. And so now I have a nice, long, I call it English garden style lawn, and I love it, and the cats love it. but I'm wondering about the best way to end the season for it. Should I mow it down, mow it down to the usual height, which I figure is 3 or 4 inches, or should I just let it go over the winter and start over again in spring?
Well, that's a great question, and kudos to you for doing that. I think more people should let their lawns go, and I do at home as well. One of the challenges with leaving it, I would say, is if we get a heavy snow load, the issue is a lot of matting of the material, which might promote some fungal problems. So I think your best bet is to give a real high mow it at that 3 to 4 inches, and let it do its thing next year. But by removing some of that debris, you'll have less issues of those potential fungal problems. You'll have more air circulation. I think it's just a lot better approach. But that brings up the topic that people with their last mowing shouldn't be out there scalping their lawns. You don't want to have a putting green out there. You need to leave something. So, again, to your point, sir, I would leave some height to it, but I would cut it back.
Yeah, I like that 3 to 4. I actually even go 4 inches. And again, what do the lawn people tell us mowing the lawn provides the equivalent, mowing for the summer provides the equivalent of a fertilizer application for the year?
Exactly. Yep, letting your clippings fall, you bet.
Peter, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, as long as we're talking about mowing the lawn and sort of winding things up in the lawn for the fall season, what about the rest of the garden? What should we be doing during as we get later into the fall season to sort of get us ready for winter?
Well, consider the fact that it's not too late to plant. And that goes beyond our fall planted bulbs. You still have plenty of weeks to do that. But as you're examining the garden, you know, as annuals start to fade and frost becomes more imminent, we start to remove some of that debris. We start to rake leaves and such. But a lot of research is showing the value of leaving stems and plants and debris out in the garden to a certain extent for overwintering insects and wildlife for sheltering, as opposed to having a pristinely cleaned up yard, you know, by the end of October or so. So leaving some pockets of debris, some plants with beneficial seed heads for wildlife and some cover makes a lot of sense. So I've come full circle. I used to be a real fall cleanup guy. Now I do a lot of it in spring. So do it piecemeal as time allows. And winter will be here soon enough, but you've got some time to kind of pick and choose what you want to do outside.
I pretty much leave it up for winter. And then when spring comes around, you don't want to be too quick to clean up either in spring because of those insects.
That's exactly right. You know, you get a warm day in early April and you think it's time, but the Mother Nature throws us a lot of curveballs, and that includes some warm days early on. So you need to be careful, but the cleanup process in spring is sometimes easier as a lot of the debris is withered and desiccated. So clean up gently. And to your point, Larry, just be careful with the timing, you know, a little bit, depending on where you live, a little bit later as you get closer to Mother's Day and the weeks prior to that seem to work out well.
Well, have you got some more projects for fall looking ahead here, Mark? You mentioned the Edgerton Hospital project. Other projects?
Yeah, plenty. And not only just residential design, but I'm designing a conifer garden for a local botanic garden, and lots of neat things. So I really enjoy design, but ultimately it's not just picking the right plant for the right place, but creating functional landscapes, you know, spaces that are beautiful but serve the purpose of what we want. So your landscape should work for you folks and certainly should be beautiful, but consider the amount of maintenance you can put into it and temper that accordingly with your approach.
And how do people find out, what's your website? Let's put it that way.
Sure. I'm at www.landscapeprescriptionsmd.com and all sorts of contact information and what I'm up to if folks want to get in touch.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for being with us. I always enjoy having you by on Garden Talk and on the Ideas Network. Mark Dwyer. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Larry.
We're in our fall member drive. Ezra Wall has just popped into the picture, and he's going to help me talk about our goals. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep your favorite programs on, like Garden Talk and like the Larry Mueller Show.
That's right. We've got a challenge in place this hour. We're trying to raise $4,500 in our challenge today, and we've got about $2,400 left to go, Larry. So still plenty of time for our listeners to contribute this hour. And when they go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, their donation is going twice as far.
That dollar-for-dollar match, so important. It came from current members, including a member from Lake Mills. It means that they'll match every dollar that you give, and kind of their way to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
So double your support right now. It's a really wonderful opportunity, and it goes through the end of this hour. And so you can double your support dollar-for-dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I really enjoy working and talking with Master Gardeners. I've given a lot of talk to Master Gardener groups over the years. And here's an interesting fact. Master Gardeners can get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk. And I think that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners like you. You can enjoy the show every week, whether you're an expert or whether you're just starting out.
Or literally, if you're a master gardener, you can still use Garden Talk to continue that education. And we have some of the best gardeners in our state right here answering your questions on the air with Larry every week. And whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, rose bushes, house plants, your mums, your bulbs, and everything in between, help Garden Talk grow right now. You see what I did there, Larry?
Yes.
Help Garden Talk grow by making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have that beautiful new long sleeve shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. It's a navy shirt. Features the WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. You can show off your pride when you ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt today. You need to contribute at least $20 a month or more, could be, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when I get my long sleeve shirt and my WPR cap, which I'm also getting, I'm going to have a photo taken and post that up on our Larry Mueller Show page so people can see that, oh, he really did make that contribution and get that. You can do it too. Join me. Give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listen to WPR with your kids. Maybe you enjoy how it sparks conversations. It helps you bring up stuff that maybe you didn't think that they were interested in yet. Or at dinner, you might share something that you heard through the day on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Public Radio is a start to quality conversations, and your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Keeps that connection going, and we've got that dollar-for-dollar match.
Yeah, that's the beauty of public radio. You never know what opportunity you're going to have, and if you want to make your dollar go twice as far, now is the time to do it. We're still looking for about $2,400 to raise this hour when you go to WPR.org or give at 888-202-2552. All you got to do is think of how much public radio means to you. How much is the advice worth that you've gotten from Garden Talk? And turn that dollar amount into good public radio.
I was trying to remember what my first contribution was. I think it might have been the $10 a month one. And I know many first-time donors give $100 or they give $10 a month. But the good thing is you get to decide the amount that's right for you. Since contributing is your choice and because WPR is something you value, you'll find that donating feels really good. Find out right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It's a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member, too.
You can become a member, too. It's very easy to do. You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Ezra Wall. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows. That's why your support is so important. Your gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And it's doubled this hour. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do. It only takes a few minutes. We're going to ask you your contact information, your name, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to make the payment.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected, and especially with Garden Talk. Garden Talk is a very popular program here on the Ideas Network. A lot of people listen to Garden Talk. And we like to have votes for Garden Talk when we're going through a fun drive. And your contribution is kind of a vote for Garden Talk and all the other programs that you enjoy. If you haven't done it yet, do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Yeah, a donation in support of Garden Talk is almost like the radio equivalent of the like button. think about what you spend your money on every day. What coffee, takeout, it all adds up. We were talking about spending money on bulbs earlier, and it's easy to spend money on things that are part of your daily routine or even your annual routine.
Yeah, and Wisconsin Public Radio is certainly part of your routine. It's your news source. It's your Garden Talk place to go. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day, maybe. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you've already renewed or made an ongoing monthly gift as a sustainer, seriously, thank you very much for what you're doing to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers, you're the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join those thousands of other WPR members. I think it's over 50,000 of them. You can donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You've made that decision to listen to WPR day after day after day, and now you can make the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio financially.
That dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We're, I think we had about $2,400 to go to reach by 1 o'clock. Ezra and I are going to have to go away in about a minute or so. But we want to urge you, if you haven't contributed yet, boy, now is the time to do it as we kind of end the Garden Talk program for the day and for this drive, as a matter of fact. It's your last time chance to do it during this drive on Garden Talk anyway. So how do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I want to thank you so much if you've contributed already. I want to thank you so much for listening. We have a wonderful audience. You're part of that audience. Help us out with your contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Ezra Wall.